continue our series on relationships, and man, that last bridge caught me. You welcome the lover, the hater, the believer, the doubter, the mighty, the broken, the pure, and the profane, the selfish, the giver, the loser, and the winner, the righteous, the sinner, all the same. You love us all. You love us all. And when we think about relationships, I thought about that line, the selfish, the giver, the loser, and the winner. There seems to always be a winner and a loser in a relationship. There always seems to be a giver and a taker, a selfish person in the relationship. And Jesus calls us to relationships where that's not the case. Jesus calls us to relationships that are mutually loving, mutually caring, mutually beneficial, mutually spirit-filled. And so I can't think of a better series right now for us to be in as we make a new normal happen in our lives in regards to our relationships. We have the opportunity right now to reset some things relationally with people. Somebody said maybe it was Shakespeare, absence makes the heart grow fonder. When you don't see people for a little while, you get back together and you say, oh, I really love that person. Even though sometimes they get on my nerves, even though sometimes I feel like they're selfish. This is the time. This is the time for us to be able to reflect on our relationships and to work through these various ships. What affiliation and belonging are all a boat. They're all a boat. They're a ship. So last week we looked at companionship. This week we look at friendship. We look at friendship from the book of Proverbs. So open your Bibles, if you have those, to Proverbs chapter 17. And we'll be taking a smattering of those verses. They're printed in your bulletin that was sent out digitally. And also there's a separate sheet in the email for the bulletin that has a separate set of questions, discussion questions that you can mull over by yourself or with a Bible study group or a small group or something like that. So please do not let this sermon time, this relationships talk, be something that just stops here. Let it go into your lunchtime conversation today or wherever you might find an opportunity to be able to talk about your friendships and your relationships. Let's pray. God, in these scriptures, we ask that you would enlighten us, enliven us, teach us your word. Lord, as the Old Testament says, Lord, in Isaiah, that Isaiah wanted your word so badly that he ate the scroll. He ate your word. And so, Lord, we want to consume your word that we might be shaped and formed by it, transformed by the renewing of our minds and by your spirit, Lord. Be able to live out that which you expect, that which you know we can live out because you have made us, called us, and chose us for this vocation we call following Christ. Jesus, be with us now. In your name we pray. Amen. I am a child of the 80s. It was good times. We had big hair, perms. We had Zubas. Remember Zubas? We had poof skirts. We had oversized blazers. We had denim, everything, denim, neon, everything. I remember when neon started like showing up in clothing, I was like, whoa, oh, we got some neon right there. Way to go, Lampies. It's neon today. It's awesome, right? The 80s were awesome because they were so eclectic. They brought in styles and things from all over the place, and we wore it. We wore it. We also sung about really interesting things during the 80s, and I'm just going to focus on the friendship songs. Two songs were written in 1982 that changed our thoughts about friendship forever. Keep smiling, keep shining, knowing you can always count on me, for sure. That's what friends are for good times and bad times. I'll be on your side forevermore. I'm really singing this badly. That's what friends are for. That was written by pop songwriting master Burt Bacharach, and it was later sung and made more famous by the psychic astrologer Dionne Warwick. So, Friends Are Friends Forever was a song written in the same year. Friends are friends forever, if the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, because the welcome will not end, okay? This song, Friends Are Friends Forever. BFF, the whole BFF thing happened sometime in the 80s, I think. You may sense some sarcastic tone in my voice, but don't forget, someone once said, the dog is the man's best friend, okay? Somebody gave up on being friends a long time ago and chose a dog instead. Maybe you heard this. True friends are never apart, maybe in distance, but never in heart. Friends are the family we choose for ourselves, someone said. Oprah said, a true friend is someone who will take the bus with you when the limo breaks down. Thanks, Oprah. Then there's this variety of friends saying, friends are the flowers in the garden of life. Friends are the chocolate chip in the cookie of life. Friends are the bacon bits in the salad bowl of life. yeah, okay. We desperately need to define friendship. We need to dig into our Bibles. We need to understand what God has said about friendship in a concrete and real way. Maybe you've heard those lines about friendship and said, I think of my friend as a chocolate chip cookie or a chocolate chip on the chocolate chip cookie. But there's more to it. There's more to it than that. If only there were a book of time-tested sayings that contained wisdom and proper guidance as to what friendship is and how to sustain friendship. Oh, yes, there is one. That's good news. It's called the Book of Proverbs. Okay, Proverbs has many sayings throughout it, short sayings about friendship, and that's what I want to explore today. I want to give us at least a beginning of a foundation of what the wisdom book, the Proverbs, has to say about friendship. Proverbs teaches that a wise person, here it is in total, the wise person, the person who thrives in life, will not thrive if they don't make good decisions about who their friends are. It does not state that it is immoral to hang around bad influences. Jesus did that all the time, we know that. But even Jesus knew when to withdraw from the crowd, from the negativity, from the naysayers, from the drug and sex addicted folks. He knew that was not going to be healthy. And he had a group of people he called disciples that later he calls friends. And we're going to come back to that at the end of the sermon. The observational and penetrating wisdom of the Proverbs focuses not only on identifying true friends, it also gives us warnings and helps us to see what true friendship is all about. It warns us about bad friends and encourages us to make good friends. The first scripture that we want to look at today, and again, this sermon is entitled Friendship. It is, this one's not working, Jennifer. So the first scripture is from chapter 17, verse 17. It says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Let's read that all together. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. First, a friend loves. A friend loves. That Hebrew word is ahava. It is the most basic word for love in the Hebrew Bible. It describes the quality of love that God has for God's people. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, ahava the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind, all your everything. Leviticus 19 says, love your neighbor, ahava your neighbor as yourself. Ahava describes the love of a parent for a child. It describes the love of friends like David and Jonathan. It describes the love of a leader or a figure. It describes even the love of a spouse. Notice the quality of the friend's love is on par with almost every other aspect of love that we can think of. And it has a duration. At all times, at all times, at all times, love. A friend loves. Now, opposed to what we just sang, this is not eternal friendship. This is not forever kind of talk. This is at all times. I think the author is very specific about that. The Bible never says you're going to have a BFF. Right? The Bible doesn't say, read your Bible, pray, and God will give you a BFF. It says a friend loves at all times. This is not eternal friendship. You won't be around forever. Your friends won't be around here forever. This is the times, all times, the times that you have. It means that being a good friend means the motivation to love is behind everything that the friend does. And it doesn't ultimately end up in self-interest. Being a good friend means that the motivation to love doesn't ultimately end up in self-interest, but rather genuine love. Love like God has. Love like a parent for a child. I heard someone say, or maybe I've read it, your best day is your child, the child that struggles the most is that child's best day. Because when that one child of yours, maybe you have multiple, and I know this as a parent, my best day is equal to the best day of the child who's having the worst day. And I can't help but love my children that way. And this is the love that God says is the kind of love that a friend should share with another. Being a good friend when times are hard and tough moments happen. As Oprah said, it's easy to befriend somebody with a limo, but when you have to take the bus, which the bus isn't so bad, right? Kind of a funny way to put it, but here's Proverbs 19:4. I didn't write this one down for you, but it says, wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friend. When we think about homelessness, we think about folks not just losing a home, but losing their community. Not having a friend, not having fellow travelers along the way that they can depend on. What's the opposite of a friend who loves at all times? A fair-weather friend, an unreliable friend. So let's turn to the next chapter in Proverbs chapter 18. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. One who has unreliable friends comes to ruin, soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The observation of this time-tested wisdom says to us, if you choose the wrong friends, your life will be difficult and hard. And the converse is true. Choose good friends, and you may experience ruinous disaster, but your life will not come to ruins. In fact, friendship here even goes beyond the love. Maybe you picked that up. In the last verse from 17, it also is repeated here in 18, but that friendship, true friendship, friendship with love, goes beyond the love of even a sibling. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Most translations hide the word love in the second half of that verse. There is a friend who, loving you, clings closer than a brother. That's maybe a better translation of that verse. The love the friend has for you can surpass even the family love you experience. Another interesting word in there is devek. It means to cling. So maybe you heard that. Sticks closer or clings closer. This friend who loves you clings closer than a brother. Cling in Genesis 2 was describing a man who leaves his father's home and clings to his wife. Again, the Bible spares no language from the language of love and friendship. It is important. It is where we experience love, people. Yes, we have wonderful marriages. And marriage is uber important. We're going to get to that relationship here in a few weeks. Dating is really important. But friendships, equally, I would say, important. Not to say your friends will take time from those other important relationships, but equally as given, I should say. Equally as given by God. So don't downplay the necessity for friends. It's here in the scripture. Devek, cling. This person clings to their friend. Friendship is a special kind of love that often will even supersede those other relationships in a particularly wonderful and innocent and loving and wonderful way. That makes us describe things like chocolate chips. It makes us think about flowers. Right? All those kind of sentimentalities come about. Friends forever, right? Friends forever. But the Bible here uses these really concrete, really solid words to describe what friendship is all about. We like to say in our culture that we choose to be who we are. I choose to be who I am. The reality is you aren't who you choose to be. Early in life, your family loved you. You had a relationship in your family. Your family shaped who you were, for good or for bad. The reality is, later in life, you are who your friends are. You are and you will be like your friends, the people you hang around. It's easy to see in human nature that we are a tribal people, that we have our friends, and we are like our friends. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great poet, philosopher, wrote a thing on friendship. He said this, "Friendship demands a religious treatment. We talk of choosing our friends, but friends are self-elected, self-chosen. Friendship requires that rare mean betwixt likeness and unlikeness that piques each with the presence of power and of consent in the other party. Reverence is a great part of friendship. Treat your friend as a spectacle. Your friend has merits that are not yours, that you can honor. If you must needs hold him close to your person, stand aside, give those merits room, let them mount and expand." Close quote. We like to think that we get to choose our friends. However, in God's economy, that's not always the case. God puts people in our lives for good, that we might befriend them, that they might sharpen us. And deciding who to hang around with and where to go to church and where to hang out on Friday and Saturday nights and who you are hanging out with on those Friday and Saturday nights will likely determine the kind of life that you lead. Wisdom dictates in the book of Proverbs that if we don't find these reliable, loving, caring friends who will care for us in all circumstances, our lives will turn to ruins. The converse is true as well. If we find those reliable friends, we will experience the tough things in life, but it won't result in ruins. This love and cling idea is powerful and important for us to understand. When you make a friend, and here's how to make a friend, or here's how to identify a friend happening in your life, okay? So what we've said is, yes, you choose. There's some choosing, but there's also this element of chance, and you run into this person and you find this person finds you, right? So here's how to identify that. C.S. Lewis said, the typical expression of opening friendship would be something like, "What? You too?" I like that. So my first day of seminary, I went to take the Greek test to pass out of Greek, and I sat down on the steps and another fella named Kyle sat down next to me, and we got to talking. He's like, "Oh, you, what test are you taking?" "I'm taking the Greek test." "Oh, you too?" "Oh, what do you like to do?" I play music. I like to play guitar." "You too? You sing?" "Yeah." "Oh, you too? Yeah." "You went to Christian Missionary Alliance school at college?" "Oh, I grew up in the Christian Missionary Alliance." "You too?" It was just one thing after another, and the same was true of my friend James as well in seminary. And I had a couple of friends like that in seminary, and that's when you know that the foundations of a friendship are there. You can sit with that person and say, "Oh, you too." Friendships that have been the longest lasting and that have had quality is sometimes born out of disaster or some event in your life. But more often than not, friendship comes from sharing commonalities and interests. See, I was on a direction and on a path, and he was on that same direction and path. I think that's important to understand, too. We're not going to meet friends if we sit at home at our couch. We're not going to meet friends if we don't get active and don't get busy in our life. Friends, it's not enough to simply say you want a friend, but not pursue something. Having some activity or goal or truth that you set your life upon, you can't simply be saying, I need a friend. Discovery is the basis and foundation of new friendships. By nature, you must be willing and open to discover those friendships. Take risks and simply say what you are about. Not in a vulgar or rude or pretentious way, but to simply say, hey, this is what I'm about. This is what I care about. This is who I am. Once your friendship is developing, it will eventually come to a point where similarities are glowing, but the differences will begin to stick out and glare at you. Pretty soon you'll understand something about that friend that, oh, that friend isn't perfect. That friend has some issues sometimes, right? Or maybe that friend begins to learn something about you. Do you bring it up? Do you talk about it? Do you tell the truth to your friend? Do you risk losing that feeling of BFF? Or do you really love that person? Let's read the next proverb, chapter 27, skip ahead. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Another translation says, faithful, maybe this is more common, faithful are the words of a friend. Wounds of a friend, sorry. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Read the next verse, verse 7. One who loathes honey from the honeycomb, but to the hungry, even what is... One who is full loathes honey from the honeycomb, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. Honey from the honeycomb is the best thing, but you don't even want to eat it when you're full, right? So those who are hungry, even bitterness can taste really sweet. Rarely do we eat bitter foods today. Everything has sugar in it. But the Hebrews didn't have sugar. They had naturally sweet things, and they had bitter things. If you're hungry enough to eat a root from the ground, it will taste sweet. The last verse in this little clump here is verse 9. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Ah, so the faithful wounds of a friend, the bitterness that we may get from a friend, is related and linked to that heartfelt advice. Some of us don't have friends. We don't know what friends are because we don't know what friends are designed to do for us. Some of us don't have friends because we don't want to taste the bitterness. Some of us don't have friends because we're not hungry for it. Hungry for what? Wise people make, keep, and foster good friendships, not because they are easy or sweet, because, as this verse says, they are hungry. I believe if we follow the arc of Proverbs, a person who seeks true and lasting friendships are hungry for something. What are they hungry for? They're hungry for wisdom. The aim of friendships, according to our author in the Proverbs, is to give us wisdom and to help us live faithful lives. Some of us need good friends, but we are unwilling to do the process of discovery. Some of us have friends, but they aren't good for us. Some of us have longtime friends, but we're in a rut and we don't let others join in the fun because that new person thinks differently about some things, doesn't feel as the group feels. But the group may need to get out of a rut by allowing new friends to challenge how the group operates. Getting stuck in a friendship rut actually excludes others. That is not true friendship. Friendship is... That kind of friendship is more about ourselves and us feeling good and our comfort rather than loving others. Being in a friendship rut means that you are actually using others for your own benefit. They're just useful to you, to give you what you want, not what you need. This is not friendship. Finally, how do we keep a friend? We continue to tell the truth. We are sincere. We're authentic. And we're tender at the same time. And we're careful at the same time. And we're gentle. We tell the truth in love. When was the last time that you allowed a friend to faithfully wound you? When was the last time you allowed someone to tell you the unvarnished perspective? It's actually in these tough conversations where we realize the benefit of a true friend. Some of us don't have friends because we can't handle faithful wounds. We interpret it as maliciousness and lies. We interpret their actions as the actions of an enemy. Want to discover a real friend? Think about the last time you had that experience, where you had that experience of a faithful wound. There's your real friend. So we've talked a little bit how to discover friendships, what real friendships look like, and how to sustain it. But I want to just talk briefly, and I want to point you finally to the truth, the reality of the gospel and how the gospel ties in. Let me ask you this. Who is someone who drew near to you by coming to death, coming to earth to die? Who is someone who related to your needs and wants? Who is someone who told you the truth? Who is someone who is willing to walk with you in total darkness? Who is someone who, despite your rejection of them, kept loving you? Who is that someone who continues to pray and intercede and care for you? Who is that someone who will not leave you or forsake you? Who is that someone who draws us in closer than a brother or sister into the family of God? Who is that someone who is already has an eternal, perfect coexistence, mutuality of friendship with the Holy Spirit and the Father of heaven, the ground of all being and the author of creation? You know the answer. You learned it in Sunday school. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus is our friend and Savior. And he said this in John 15, and this is the last verse. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because servants do not know their master's business. Instead, I have given you the plan. I have given you the business, Jesus says. I call you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And get this, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. In closing, C.S. Lewis says about the scriptures, we think we've chosen our friends, but for the Christian, there are, strictly speaking, no chances. A secret master of ceremonies is always at work. Christ, who said to the disciples, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you, can also say to every group of Christian friends, you have not chosen one another, but I have chosen you for one another. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would give us understanding by what you meant when you said, if we do your will, we can be your friends. Because you have called us to love one another over and over and over again in Scripture. To love without those limits that we so often put on our love and our friendships. Lord, protect us from being in a rut with our friendships. Protect us from complacency and selfishness. Protect us, Lord. Teach us your ways, Lord. The way that you died for us and counted us your friend. And Lord, where there are bad friendships, Lord, I pray that you would give the person here today who may be in a bad relationship, a bad friendship, to break that friendship off for the sake of their own health today. Lord, you would give them the courage to speak truth to that friend. That you would give us truth to speak the courage to the truth to ourselves and to allow friends to speak truth to us. Lord, we thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody comes to you except by the Father and by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we come to you today. Teach us, renew us, empower us, and embolden us to live out friendship in the way that you designed. In your name we pray. Amen.